Following the message, we will sing Psalter 8, all the stanzas. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning the text was from Romans 5, verse 1, which speaks of the believer having peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we listen to that text in the context of forgiveness of sins, and so the peace of God became for us having peace with God through the saving work of the Lord Jesus. The scripture tells us that many people by nature are enemies of God, they are hostile to Him, and as a result the wrath of God rests on them. It is therefore a tremendous thing to obtain peace with God, that is peace between the Lord God and us. The key words in bringing about peace with God are repentance and confession of sins. But the effect of having peace with God is not limited to our personal lives. When people have peace with God, then the effect of that peaceful relation with their Creator and Lord is not limited to the relationship between the Lord and them. Then the effects reach much further. We have a clear example of that in the scripture which we read. For there, the peace of God leads to peace between Jews and non-Jews, known as Gentiles. And today, we are also aware of the hostility between Jews and non-Jews. Think only of the president of Iran, who made it very clear he would like nothing better if the whole nation of Israel would be shoved into the Mediterranean Sea. But it's not only Iran. Also in our own country, there is enough hatred against the Jews that signs of anti-Semitism surface quite regularly, as a matter of fact. That wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile was already there when the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians. At that time, there were Jews who had become to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And there were also Gentiles who had embraced the Lord Jesus as their Savior, but without being circumcised, without first having become Jews, so to say. And the big question was now, can these two kinds of Christian believers be one? And we know from Galatians that there were sometimes quite the disagreements over that, if not worse. Well, can these two kinds of Christian believers be one? And then we're told in our text that the Lord Jesus Himself is the peace between both these believing Jews and these converted Gentiles, as the last half of verse 15 and 16 reads. So, as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity between Jew and Gentile. When it says that the Lord Jesus created one new man from the two, then of course we must not think of some hybrid hybrid human, half Jewish and half Gentile. The meaning then is that the believing Jews and the believing Gentiles are brought together by the Lord Jesus Christ into one church, into one body. The meaning is that the Lord has not just gathered them into one unorganized group, but that He has formed them into one structure, into one temple, one building, with both Jews and Gentiles sharing in the responsibility of being the body of Christ, His bride. Now, when you think of a human body with all its different members, then such a body can only function properly, of course, when all the members work together, when they have become totally coordinated with each other. It would simply not do if my hand would be fighting with my eye. It would show, and my eye would not function anymore if my hand would fight with my eye, or if my thumb and index finger would be fighting with each other. And so we're taught that when people come to have peace with God through forgiveness of sins by the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that then these people also become reconciled with each other, since these Jews have become reconciled with God through Jesus Christ, have peace with God, and these Gentiles have now peace with God. Now the Lord Jesus brings them together and they have peace among themselves. And that shows us that having peace with God does not only mean vertical peace between the Lord God and the forgiven sinner, but that peace with God also results in horizontal peace effects between human beings in society. And this is how we come to the theme of this message, that having peace with God affects our whole world. And I put a little in brackets because some of us, you know, we don't live in a big world. I traveled with one member of our Free Reformed Churches, Ray Pennings, this past week. And it's amazing how big his world is, you know. He's president of the board of Redeemer University College, and he meets with assistant ministers of the Ontario government, and you go on and on. So he's got a big world. I only have a small world. I think most of you have only a small world. So that's why I put that little in brackets. But having peace with God affects, let's then say, the world we live in. And then we first look at no peace with God, then secondly, at peace with God, and thirdly, practicing peace with God. No peace with God. What is it like to live in this world without having peace with God? Well, the best way I can start on that is by thinking about what it is to live with peace of God in the biblical sense. And then I take you to Isaiah. And Isaiah tells us, the cow will graze with the bear, the cub and the calf, that's the bear cub and the calf, will lay down together. The lion will eat hay like the cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nobody will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. Now compare this now with many places today, where an 8-year-old girl trustingly puts her hand in the hand of an older teenager to be led away to abuse and death. Compare that now to the bullying that is happening more and more in many high schools via texting and emails and cell phones. Compare that with the places where still car bombs and suicide bombs go off. The places in our own country where pensioners demonstrate because of fear and anger that their pensions may be in danger because of possible bankruptcy by companies for which they have worked for years. Compare that with a place where a former prime minister plies his slippery word game, a place where there is a lot of fear and a lot of anger in people's lives because of being threatened by things that they cannot control. But let us not think that today is the only time that life was so threatening, a life without peace, so dangerous without the peace of God. We read about the situation in the times of the Ephesians. Then people used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, it says, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And among them writes the apostle, also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Paul doesn't exclude himself. No, also we all conducted ourselves that way. You go back to those days, and then there was also a lot of cruelty, insecurity, worry, grabbing as much as you could, not knowing whether there would be anything tomorrow. Our society suffers the way it does, precisely because there is a great lack of people who have peace with God. The bullying that happens in schools and outside schools by children and of children happens, we are told by the experts, because there is a great deal of stress and fear and anger in the lives of people, in the lives of families. And so they hit out at others in order not to be hit themselves first. But enough of this living without the peace of God. Let us look at what life is like that is lived at peace with God. And let us then begin with our personal lives. We spoke of Jewish believers and Gentile believers being able to live in peace with each other because they now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to have peace with God? Yes, it means first of all that all my sins have been washed away. It means that I'm delivered from the wrath of God. It means that I do not have to fear the judgment anymore. It means that there is now no condemnation for me anymore. But what else does it mean? Well, it really means that I now have the Lord God as my heavenly Father. It means now that I have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as my elder brother who has ascended, my elder brother who governs heaven and earth. And in the days our New Testament was written, well, a king could give you gifts. A king could help you. If the king was your brother, you had no problems. I mean, you had a meal ticket for the rest of your life. He would help you out. And do we not have all sorts of promises that our Heavenly Father will look after His children? So then, and I quote from Scripture, what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with his own son also freely give us all things? All things. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Of course not. Nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. And so what does it mean that I have peace with God? Well, it means this, that in Him I have all the security I need. He shall see me through whatever circumstances may meet me. He shall deliver me from the evil one. He shall carry me through. Now, when it is granted to me to know that, when I know all that because I know I have received forgiveness of sins, then I not only have peace with God, but with all that and with His promises, I can also live in peace here on earth. And this now is precisely the promise to all God's people. When they walk in God's ways, then His peace in their lives will be like a mighty river, says Isaiah 48:18. Alice played this morning after the service, when peace like a river. It comes out of Isaiah 48:18. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When people walk in God's ways, then His peace in their lives will be like a mighty river. Just imagine a father or a mother in the midst of his family, at peace with the Lord, walking in His ways. and therefore at peace with themselves. What a difference that makes in the atmosphere around that father, around that mother, or for that matter, around that son, around that daughter. Now, all this, of course, sounds very good, but you say, does it work that way? Well, we just mentioned that verse out of Isaiah 48, that God's peace will be like a mighty river in the believer's life when they walk in God's ways. That doesn't mean that when they walk in God's ways, when I say that, that doesn't mean that the believer has to earn having peace with the Lord his God. It's by grace alone that believers receive forgiveness of sins and therefore peace with God. But there is also such a thing for afterwards staying on the road. I mean, we've all seen a tow truck hauling a car out of the ditch. And how did that car get in the ditch? Well, it's fairly simple. It got off the road. Now, we're told in Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, whenever you turn to the left. So, the word of God behind us says, turn to the left, turn to the right. We also know from Psalm 119 how God's word is a lamp to the believer's feet and a light to her path. And so, the Lord is saying, you will walk in my peace as long as you stay on my road. And that road is given to us first and foremost in his commandments. Not once again in order that we must earn it. No, no. That we cannot earn his peace. But in order that we may stay within his peace. And of course, that is sometimes easier said than done. For a believer is always exposed to temptations. There are weak moments. There are times when you definitely must resist the evil one, or he will not leave you alone. There are also times when life may become rather stressful. And then it will take extra time in prayer and meditation to hold on to God's peace. Or even to regain it. And the meditation on God's word will also help you to be reminded again of his promises. You read something and there's a promise. You hold on to that promise. It is beautiful. You hang on to it. And his promises, his directions. And we have to tell ourselves again and again that the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. And that it is through him alone that we have peace with God. And that we can live at peace. To be truthful, it takes quite a bit to get into the habit of living peacefully in this life. There may be unemployment. There may be tight finances. There may be even very tight finances. There may be illness. There may be serious illness of yourself, of a loved one. There may even be death. There may be happenings in church or at work. Yes, it can be quite a challenge to stay on the road of peace with the Lord. And some of us, we don't have such a calm character by nature. But having peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, having been justified by faith, is really the only way to live in this world. And that can only be done when you hand everything over to him. Now that may take some emotional times in prayer to hand your job over to the Lord. You take care of my job. Or to hand your business over to the Lord. What does the Lord know about landscaping? Hand your business over to the Lord. Your loved one over to the Lord God. But it really is the only way to stay on the road of peace with him. There's the story of the well-known missionary to China, his name was Hudson Taylor. During the time of the Boxer Rebellion, around 1900 in China, there were times very tense for foreigners in that land. One day a telegram arrived, Mr. Taylor was also in China then, that one of his co-missionaries in another Chinese city was in really danger of his life. The story goes, Mr. Taylor read the telegram, he laid it aside, he continued to work on what he was working. A young co-worker then read the telegram, got all excited, and he couldn't believe that Mr. Taylor was not upset, that Mr. Taylor just kept right on working. But then he noticed that Mr. Taylor was humming, and he realized Mr. Taylor was humming a hymn. He was humming, "Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I'm finding out the greatness of thy loving heart." That's the way of peace with God. Resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. How different that is from living without the peace of God. But now, thirdly then, practicing peace. I'm sure that you all realize that a believer walking in peace with the Lord has an impact beyond his or her own life. We mentioned father and mother. Imagine that both father and mother are at peace with the Lord and at peace with themselves. Well, then their marriage is also basically at peace. And then their home will also be experiencing the blessings of the river of God's peace. You hear it today that when dad is without a job and things get financially tighter, stress enters the home and there may be a little bit more shouting to each other. And the result will be that the children pick up on that sooner or later. They become stressed. They go stressed to school. They run into other kids these days that are stressed and tempers are often shorter. Everything gets wound up tighter. And we do not have to ask what that even does to the atmosphere in the classroom. This tenseness shows itself in the fear and the anger also of the children. And that comes out, as we mentioned, in the bullying. And therefore, we have to take a closer look at this peace in the family. That's very important. What happens often when one younger family member wrongs another one? You know, even our children are not perfect, you know that. So what is the first reaction, young kids, when somebody has wronged you? Well, get mad. Get even. Most of us have heard this more than once. He hit me first. Now, if he hit me first, then of course I have every right to hit him back. Right? She tore up my puzzle. Well, then I have every right to tear up her prize picture. Now, at this point, it's very important whether father and mother are practicing peace with God. If they are, then there will be a more or less calm intervention. But if they are not practicing peace with God, but are themselves already jittery, then likely there will be a loud shout or something, some stressful reaction, which really does nothing to resolve the situation. But a calm reaction will most likely defuse the children, defuse the situation. And the children, they can be spoken to also in the light of the gospel. When you tore up his puzzle, was that pleasing in the sight of the Lord? No. Well, then you actually also did wrong to the Lord by doing that. And you, when you wanted to hit back and tear up that picture, was that pleasing in the sight of the Lord? No. Well, then you also did wrong in the eyes of the Lord. So you did not only do wrong to each other, but also to the Lord. So which one of you is right? Aren't you both wrong? So what should you both do now? Well, confess that you're wrong to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. And what about over against each other? Well, forgive each other.
Well, maybe some parents think that this is not quite realistic. But the point is that a home where the peace with God is practiced by parents who have received forgiveness of sins and have peace with God, such a home is surely quite different from a home where father and mother have no one on whom they can rely. That is, no one who is greater than themselves. No one to whom they can go in their need and troubles. It is a wonderful thing when you can rest in the Lord. And it will affect your whole family. It actually will mean the survival of your family. And the survival of your marriage. Cars that do not stay on the road end up in the ditch. And parents and marriage partners that have by grace received forgiveness of sins but do not stay on the Lord's road are still in danger of ending up in the ditch, in the danger of crashing their marriage, destroying their family, ending their careers. You know, every once in a while we have the very sad news that there's been a murder-suicide that has wiped out a whole family. Was there peace in that family? You know the answer. There are sometimes stories about homeless men in the paper. And then they tell us that at one time they had a good job. They had a home. They had a family. But then things got off the road. Most likely, we do not realize how blessed we are as a congregation. Being made up, and I look from the outside, but let me say it, being made up of so many families that seem to be a rather stable family. Stable because the peace of God is being practiced among us. And the fruit of practicing the peace with God is then found in the young people, who also by God's grace become peace with God practicing adults. But this practicing the peace of God may really be tested from time to time. And that happens usually when somebody offends us, rips up our puzzle, so to say. It's rather easy to come between two of your young children and direct them to the Lord and lead them towards making peace with each other. It's quite another thing to practice that for yourself. The hardest thing is not to get even when somebody wrongs us. Often one of the first thoughts is, he's not going to get away with this. If he thinks that I'm a sissy, that I'm going to roll over and do nothing, he's got another guest coming. It is in such circumstances that the scriptural directions of forgiving your brother, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7 times, appears to be utterly unreasonable. Actually, it may seem totally impossible to forgive, truly forgive the one who has offended you, who has gotten in your way. And then it becomes a real struggle. How can I ever forgive him? For if I forgive him, then it means he gets away with it. So what happens next? Well, it is now no longer a matter between him and me. It now becomes a matter of a battle between me and the Lord. It's no longer a matter of letting the one who has offended me off the hook. It is now a matter of me surrendering myself to the Lord. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. If there is anything to be repaid, you hand him over to me. You hand the whole situation over to me. I know everything that has happened. I know every word that has been said. I know every word that has not been said, but has been thought also by you. And lastly, your debt to me, which I forgave you for my son's sake, was far and far greater than the debt you think that man owes you. Just think the price my son paid for you and for so many more on the cross. Now all this, of course, seems so simple and so straightforward. But there is one problem. The old man inside of me refuses to knuckle under. The old corrupt man of sin in me gets my emotions going every time that other man crosses my path. I grew up in a little village, and at one time there were two big dogs in that village that couldn't stand each other. And we had one of them. And if our dog was just laying quietly in the room, and you mentioned the name of the other dog, just mention the name, he'd get up, he'd growl, and the hairs on his neck all come up. Just by hearing the name. Well, that's the way it can be when a child of God is called upon by the Lord to forgive, especially a brother in the Lord who has offended him. Mention even the name of that brother, and there can be an emotional explosion, if not outwardly, surely inwardly. But let us be clear, the battle is really against the Lord God. The battle is the refusal by the old man, the man of pride, to surrender to the Lord. Now when it comes to this point, a number of things can happen. One person will leave the church, if not the faith, completely, saying he wants nothing to do anymore with all those hypocrites. That's, of course, nothing but self-justification. Someone else may sell his house, uproot his family, move away, all because he refuses to give in to the Lord. But it doesn't matter where he moves, he will never again walk in the way of peace with the Lord until he surrenders himself to the Lord and confesses his sin and forgives the one who has offended him. That doesn't mean that he has to go to the offender and do that personally. What matters is that in himself, the battle is over. That he has now peace with that man. And that once again, he is walking in the way of peace with God. And when he meets his former enemy, then it will be really as if nothing has happened. But I've met older people who have been carrying a grudge like that for years. The more time passes, the harder it becomes to yield to the Lord. And somebody else will not move away, but will struggle, possibly even for months, half a year, before the battle is over. And he yields himself to the Lord. And one thing which happens during all that time of struggle before the Lord is that you learn what mean and awful thoughts can and do spring up in your mind. Thoughts that you well know have no place at all in the heart of a believer. It shows the deep corruption even of the believer's old heart. And so the struggle to forgive the one who has sinned against us can be a very self-revealing and therefore a very fruitful experience. Now, considering all this, it may seem that practicing the peace of God is not always that peaceful a matter. But there is also the whole congregation. And you can see how important it is for brothers and sisters to pray, especially for those who struggle with forgiving their debtors as they have been forgiven by the Lord through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is why we may say that those who walk in the way of peace with God are often the peacemakers in the congregation and in the community where they live and work. And who knows, you may be a peacemaker today, and tomorrow you may need peacemakers yourself. We live in a world where there's a great deal of stress, of fear, of anger, of violence, not only overseas, also right here in our own backyard. And in the midst of such an environment, it is doubly important to maintain peaceful homes and a peaceful congregation. And that can only happen when we know what we believe, when we confess the forgiveness of sins, and so have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith, while we strive by God's grace to walk in the way of peace with Him. Amen.